Angelo, when we last left our account in the Book of Daniel, we saw that there were three non-combustible men. We saw how the Lord, in a miraculous way, preserved them during their fiery trial. We'd just like to make some application to that to us today. We know that the account of Daniel primarily concerns Israel and the nations, but we can make some application to us, the church. As Romans 15 verse 4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope." Interpretation primarily concerns Israel, and although there does not, there's no mention of the church in this account of Daniel, we do know that we can, according to Romans 15, 4, make some application to ourselves. And so considering the fiery trial, we just like to consider a little bit about suffering. So we turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter and chapter 4. And we will begin reading at verse 12. "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified." And so at the end of this verse, we can see that we can glorify our Lord Jesus Christ in our suffering if we have the right attitude as we go through it. So why do we suffer? These verses we just mentioned primarily concerns suffering in our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that it says, "All those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution," 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. We also know that through the course of church history, that has been the primary lot of believers. Perhaps we in North America in the last 200 years have lived in a bubble, but the primary experience for believers in the church age has been to suffer to some extent. And we see that during the Roman Empire, there were waves of suffering. There would be a time when it would alleviate for a while, but then it would increase again, depending on who the emperor is or was. So we are called to suffer. The Lord Jesus said of himself, "Ought not the Christ to suffer and then enter into his glory?" We know we'll never suffer like him, and we certainly will never suffer for sins, because he was the chosen one to the Holy One to suffer on behalf of our sins. But we will suffer because the servant is not greater than the master. If they hated him, they will hate us. And because of our identification with him, we can expect suffering if we endeavor to live a life pleasing to him. And sometimes it's not just deliberate persecution on the part of others. Sometimes they may not even realize why they're doing it. And so they may have a distaste for us without even realizing that it's demonically inspired. And so it's not necessarily always a devil deliberately bringing suffering and persecution to us. Sometimes just our natural, because of who we are, people even will have a dislike for us, even though they don't even know why they do. And so there can be that different shades of suffering because of our identification with the Lord Jesus. And then we suffer also just by the fact that we live in a sinful world. There's things that happen to us that happen to all people. You know, we can suffer for health. We can have car accidents. We can have different things come into our life, job loss, different things that can happen that are the normal lot of humanity because we live in a fallen world. And then sometimes we can suffer because the Lord deliberately brings it into our life. It's not the devil, but the Lord brings it into our life to prune us. It's a sign of his approval that he wants us to even be a greater asset to him a greater witness, a greater use to him. So he will prune us sometimes to make us even a more useful servant to him. And so it's a sign of God's favor. And sometimes, as we see in the book of Job, it's the devil. We see that when the devil brings persecution into our lives, or there's harm come into our lives that's from a satanic source, we know it's only can happen if God allows it. And we see the greater purpose of God in the book of Job. So we see there's different reasons why we will suffer. Now just let's look at three main principles here in these verses we read. The first one is found in verse 12, where it says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you." And so when suffering comes, we're not to be shocked by it. We're not to be taken by surprise by it. And we're to, if we're going through a period now when we're not suffering, we should be prepared for it coming into our life. We should not be surprised by it. And so sometimes people will say, unbelievers certainly will say this, they say, "How can a loving God allow this to happen?" And they will often use that as an excuse to say they don't believe in God, or they won't accept the biblical Christianity, because they will think that God should just have a bed of ease for every people. And so they will ignore the good things that come in, and they won't give glory to God for the good things in our life. But as soon as something bad happens, they would say, "How can a loving God allow that?" Well, the believer has the opposite approach, or at least they should, is that they will say, God allows it because that's the normal lot of believers. We are following the example of our Lord Jesus. Ought not the Christ to suffer and then enter into his glory? So in this life, we will have suffering, but the sufferings of this world is a light weight compared to the eternal weight of glory that will be revealed in us someday. And so we have to the big picture in view, that this is temporary. It won't last. But in the future, in eternity, we will not look back at any time of suffering here as a great weighty thing compared to the glory that has now been revealed in us. And so we're not to be taken by surprise. And then it says in verse 13, "But we're to rejoice that we partake of Christ's sufferings." And again, that's not the sufferings of Calvary, of course. He had to do that alone. He by himself purged our sins. But it's our identification. It's being disowned by this world. It's being hated without a cause. And so we partake of Christ's sufferings in this way. And as I mentioned, these principles apply no matter what the source of suffering, whether it's our identification with Christ, or it's because of our just living in a sinful world, or it's because of pruning, these principles apply that we're not to be surprised by them. And secondly, we're to rejoice. Philippians 4 verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." And 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says we're to rejoice in all things, everything. So we're to have that kind of living enjoyment of the communion of Christ, even during times of suffering. And our circumstances should not affect our rejoicing in Christ. We should live above our circumstances. So we rejoice no matter when we're going through good times or whether we're going through bad times. And so we're to recognize that we are to rejoice in all circumstances. The Apostle Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. He recognized that through suffering, he had a greater knowledge of Christ. And indeed, many people have testified that they saw the power of Christ, the power of the resurrected Lord, revealed to them in a greater way. They saw their ability to go through things they thought they could never go through because they see the power of the risen Lord manifest to them. And so they have a greater communing and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ during a time of suffering. And so Paul wanted to know Christ in a deeper way. And sometimes it's only through the process of suffering that we come into a greater knowledge of the Lord. Paul asked the Lord in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 to remove a thorn in the flesh. And we don't know what it is, and that's a good thing because we can apply it to any kind of situation, a person, an accuser, a health issue, or whatever. And Paul prayed three times for the Lord to remove it. And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you. And I can show my power in a greater way in your weakness. And you can know me in a greater way. And you can know greater power in service as you, in your weakness, depend upon the power of the risen Lord." And so there's a rejoicing in a greater knowledge and growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we go through a time of suffering. And it's a cause for rejoicing. No one has a cause to rejoice more than the believer. It doesn't matter what is happening now. We know what's ahead of us. We have heaven. We have glory. We will someday reign with Christ. And we have that day. And whether we go, whether it's through the rapture, being caught up alive to be with Christ, or whether it's through the process of death, someday we're going to look upon the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to be with him forever, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And so that's what's ahead of us. And he's there waiting for us. He's there waiting with a smile, waiting to receive us. He's looking forward to that time too, as much, and probably even greater than we are, because we are still in our sinful state. But the Lord in its perfection is looking forward to the day. And aren't we looking forward to that day? And that's what's ahead of us. And so as we think about the long term, as we think about the end game, it helps us to go through what we're going through now. I'm reminded, I used to do a lot of long distance running, and sometimes halfway through the race or at some point it would get hard, and you had to really tell yourself to keep going, and you had to think about that finish line. But oh, what a strength and exhilaration there was, even if it was still far off, but just seeing the finish line gave you more of a push, just seeing it. You knew the end was near. And brothers and sisters, we see through Scripture the finish line. We see it by faith, and we know it's sure. We have a sure hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third point is we have a comforting assurance, which goes along with what we just said. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of God, of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. And so we have the comforting assurance, the eternal security when we go through suffering, because we have that truth. If we're going through suffering, we know it's because of our identification with the Lord. And we know that first comes the suffering, then the glory. And so we know that it's an evidence that we have a relationship with the Lord when we have it. So it's, Peter says here, if you are reproached, the Spirit of glory rests upon you. And we can have a image here of the Shekinah glory that rested on the tabernacle or would fill the temple when it was built. And what did it tell the Israelites? It told them that the presence of God was there. The presence of God was there. And so Peter is saying, when you are reproached, the Spirit of glory rests upon you in the same way the Shekinah glory rested upon the tabernacle when they were in the wilderness, and later on the temple. And so it was an evidence of God's presence. And so he's saying here, when you go through suffering, take comfort, take assurance that you belong to the Lord. You have that eternal security that the suffering you're going to is an evidence that you are identified with Christ, and he is in you. And he is the one who said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And it's an evidence that you are truly born again. And so as believers, we don't say, where is God? Why is he allowing this to happen? We know that it's something we are not to be surprised by. We are to rejoice in it. We're to live above our circumstances. We are to see the end game. And we are to be comforted by the fact that we are safe and secure in Christ. We have a comforting assurance. And sometimes we get used to depending upon other people. And when we go through some times of suffering, we learn that Christ is the one that we need to depend upon, even more than other people in our lives. Now, it's good to have believers to lean on, and sometimes the Lord uses them, but sometimes they can't be there for us. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in this case, Daniel was away for some reason. We don't know exactly why, if he was on business or what, but he wasn't there, and they had to stand on their own. They didn't have him with them as they did in the first chapter, as we learned. And so they had to stand on their own, and sometimes we have to do that as well. But we're not alone. We have the Lord Jesus Christ to lean upon and to help us during these times. And just like he was there in the furnace of affliction, in the fiery trial with these three men, that the king said, I thought three were cast in, and there's four there. And that was the pre-incarnate Christ there with them, the pre-incarnate Son of God. And we can be sure that as we go through a fiery trial, the Lord doesn't just leave us alone. He is there to go through it with us. He goes through the suffering with us, and we can count on him. And so I just close with a gospel application as well, that believers are saved from the fire. As these three men are saved from the fire, so as believers, we are saved from the lake of fire. But it's only found in the one who paid the penalty for us, and we must have a relationship with him. So if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I implore you to do that today, to be saved from the fire, that future eternal fire, the lake of fire, that it says that all the unbelievers will spend an eternity there, never to escape. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego escaped the fire. And we as believers are like a brand plucked from the fire of hell. But for those who reject Christ, they will never escape the fire, and they will be there forever. And God doesn't want that. So I pray that you have trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And if you haven't, you just have to believe that on the cross, the Lord Jesus was your substitute. He took your place. He took the penalty for your sins. And now all you have to do is put your faith and trust in him and the adequacy of that sacrifice. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I pray that you've taken that step of faith. And if not, the Bible says now is the day of salvation. God bless.